Steve and Justin use Y-charts for their winning investment research. So start your free trial now. And if you purchase, mention InvestTalk and get a generous discount at YCharts.com.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. It is Tuesday, January 29th, 2019. I'm Steve Peasley, and I really do thank you for joining me today. And whether you're a regular listener or new to the program, we have a serious objective here. We always have the same objective, and as always, to make you or help you to achieve financial freedom, make you a better investor. What's financial freedom, though? When you think about it, what does it mean? Well, for me, and how I describe it, we are all working hard to get to a point where we don't have to work so hard. And if you're working really, really hard, but you love it, then it's okay. But most of us are working at jobs that we work at. Maybe we love it, maybe we like it, maybe we don't like it. But we're all working for, you know, some security, financial freedom, a comfort zone, whatever that may be, right? If everybody's different, I don't know what your comfort zone is. So to me, that's the simple definition of financial freedom. Now today, in this hour, I'm going to do my best to help you get there one step at a time. And along the way, well, I do hope you'll participate by calling your, calling in your financial and investment questions here to the show. Now, our Anytime Listener line is open right now. And I'm taking your calls live at 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, we have some interesting news. It's earnings season, and this is a pretty big week for profits being announced. So far, the S&P earnings are up about 15.9% versus last year, and that's a much better number than they expected going into this earnings season. I think it was a little under 10%. Here it is, almost 16% so far. They're not done yet, but it's been pretty strong, okay? Margins, you know what profit margin is, okay? You have sales, and then you have earnings. So what you actually put in your pocket is earnings. Sales is what you sold, but you got all the costs of producing that item and selling that product. So earnings are what you put in a pocket. The difference between those two, how much earnings you put into your pocket, what percentage of that sales is the margin. What's my profit margin on that sales? And you always like to see that going up, but it's getting pretty tight. Pretty tight. So that was interesting. That's what's going on in our earnings season. And so the results have been pretty good. But probably a lot of those earnings have been priced into the market. We've seen them bounce up. So maybe we've seen that bounce up. Now maybe everybody knows what we're going to get. After this earnings season, what's going to happen is everybody's going to be focused on the U.S.-China trade deal. I mean, that's going to be a pretty stiff headwind going forward. And the weakness in China is a problem, right? Their economic weakness, we talked about that last week. They say they grew 6.6%, which was their lowest in forever. But I'm not so sure, of course, that's a correct number. But it's been a tough situation for China. Okay, some of the big reports we've had, like from NVIDIA, half their sales are from China. Caterpillar says that, weakness in China has really hurt them. Broadcom, Micron Technology, Qualcomm, Skyworks, Wynn Resorts, all those companies were, whining about the weakness in China for their profits. So we'll see. Because this morning, consumer confidence number was out, 120.2. That was a decline in consumer confidence. It's not one of my favorite economic reports. And we're still getting delayed on other economic reports because of the government shutdown. But consumer confidence, 120 is still relatively high, but that has been the lowest in 3 months. Now, it's probably all about the government shutdown. So, You know, there's always lots of news. There's always lots of news. Big tech in general has not. It appears to have a generally serious problem with privacy and security. You know, do you remember the book 1984? Well, that was supposed to be the government overlooking and watching you and doing, you know, micromanaging everything you do and seeing what you see. That was the whole book was about Big Brother watching you. Well, Big Brother today is big tech. And in particular, Facebook has been the one that's having the most problems with their, you know, reportedly blocking the ability to for outside groups attempting to execute privacy targeting oversight. And, you know, Facebook's got problems with that. They seem to be favoring some sites over others. And you're thinking that, you know, oh, it's just a website. You know, they'll show, you know, give shows everything. Apparently they can control it. And don't think Facebook's going to be alone. Google has billions of users. They could do it. You know, so you got to be careful about, you know, what I'm concerned is, you know, is that they are spoiling their own free hand in all this, because the government will come in and say, hey, you have to do it X, Y, Z. If the government finds that they are being prejudiced one way or another, the government will come in and start setting rules and regulations that they're going to have to find. So which big tech is one that you should invest? Should it be Facebook, Google, maybe Apple, or Netflix, Microsoft? Which one? Interesting stuff out there, everybody. As you can tell, there's always lots of data, market news, things that push stocks around. But let's go ahead and grab our first question of the day. And now this line number is always the same, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, this is Brandon, and I was calling because I was looking at getting into investing and getting into the stock market, but I was wondering what good books could you recommend for a beginner? I have A Random Walk Down Wall Street. I just wanted to know if there's any other reading material I can go out and purchase. Thank you.
Well, that's a good book, the one you just quoted, Random Walk Down Wall Street. I like there's a number of them out there. That, of course, you could always read mine, Above Average Investor, The Average Investor. But there's a number of really good books that, you know, are go from the simple to the complex. And it depends on you. I'm pulling up my own library and looking at some of my books here. On our website, of course, we have a list of books, you know, on the website for you to look at. And it will list all the books. But I like... man who just died, Bogle. He wrote several good books out there that I like. He likes index investing. That was his main. You just go to our website, investtalk.com or kppfinancial.com, and on the right-hand menu is a drop-down menu at the upper right, and there's a site on our website that just is still called Books. And it'll take you right to it. But, you know, some really good books that are not necessarily investing books are like books on some of the popular delusions and the madness of crowds. Kind of tells you what happens when everybody jumps on the same bandwagon, like in the dot-com explosion, like the housing craziness in 2004, 2005, 2006, it talks about that kind of thing, the different kinds of crowd investing that you get involved in, and you get in a panic, and you just go with everybody, and it's crazy. And I also like Creative Destruction, which kind of describes our economic system, where you destroy some companies while you're creating new ones, because they're the new and latest things, and the old company's out, and the new company's in. That's very common. And those are good philosophy books, kind of books, when it comes to investing. And I think you need to have that in your background. I really do. Now, if any of the information discussed on today's program raises further questions in your mind, well, with regard to how market news may affect your portfolio, I really encourage you to reach out to Justin or myself at KPP Financial. You can call our Dana Point, California offices, or you can send us an email, a message. You can go through investtalk.com. We make a very strong effort to answer our emails, all our emails. Our anytime listener line never closes, and at the moment, I am taking your questions live, 888-99-CHART.
The market continues to show ups and downs, and of course, you want unbiased investing advice. So, Steve is here taking your calls live, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278, our main talking point today. Was the market's fourth quarter volatility a passing scare, a reaction to possible Fed mistake, or a real thing? Investors remain on edge even after the big January comeback. We'll take a look at that story here. Some of the other topics we're going to talk about. Beware of the IRS. Remember, they said it's going to take them a while to get on, caught up. Well, let's say it takes them a year. They still audit your 2018 a year from now returns. Doesn't stop them from going back as far as they can go back several years. Then you're going to have to pay penalties and interest. They don't care. I've been audited. I know how that works. I've been audited 2 or 3 times. Never had to pay extra anything, but I know how it works. So they're going to look for certain things, and I'm going to warn you about the certain things they're looking for. The slump in global trade is a bigger threat than markets imagine. This is according to one economist that I kind of like. So we'll talk about that. Home price growth skids for a 4-year low, the Case-Shiller report. Case-Shiller report. That's the report that is the 20-city index. Looks at 20 cities and talks about price increases and median prices and all the different things about the prices of homes and sales in those 20 cities. And that's what we're going to discuss today. Of course, I want to talk about what's on your mind first. What do you want to talk about? You give us a call and I'll answer any financial questions you have. The market is up. The Dow was up 52 points. The Nasdaq was down 57 points. And the S&P 500, a broader index, because those two, the Dow and the Nasdaq, are more focused, the broader index was down 4 points today. So nothing major, but still, as I warned you a week or so ago, I said that the market probably is very close to a point where it's going to have trouble breaking through. Okay, and of course I talked about Fibonacci numbers then. Do you remember that? And it looks like that's what we're hitting. We're hitting resistance here. Last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 6 or 7 days, it's mostly sideways. Okay, sideways for the market. Now, this is where it will consolidate. The consolidation, if it consolidates here, and it can consolidate a week, a month, I've seen consolidations last a year. Okay, but it's probably going to consolidate here. Now, whether it move up or down, I'm having my suspicions. Let me put it this way. No one knows. I'm just going by my own personal experience over the years, okay? And I can be wrong, but generally I'm more right than wrong. But I think what we're going to see is a little retracement here. I don't think we're going to go all the way back to the bottom where we were. I don't. But it really is going to depend on what comes out of Washington concerning the China trade, what the Fed's going to do. I mean, something that people are not really talking about, the Brexit, because all that affects world trade. We'll see. Let's go to Amit in San Jose. Do we have time to go to him, by the way? Okay. Amit, I'm sorry. I was too verbose. Talk too long. And I don't want to cut off your short. So I know you want to talk about Apple. We'll do that right after the break. You'll be first up. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. And I believe that every investor should determine their individual risk tolerance. As a first step to doing that, to find out, you can go to we have free software. You can go to our risk tolerance questions on our website. It's free. And it's a tool that we use. InvestTalk.com is where you go. It's a risk-alyze. It's a risk question. It's very short. But now I'm ready to take your questions. 888-99-CHART.
This is InvestTalk. The KPP Premium Newsletter, distributed to each subscriber's inbox on Fridays, provides a summary of the market week that was, offers a look ahead, and even points out notable stock ideas. You can subscribe anytime at InvestTalk.com. Have you got a question for Steve? He's here, and the lines are open. 888-99-CHART.
Okay. Amit, how you doing? Thank you for waiting. I really appreciate it. You want to talk about Apple. AAPL is a symbol. What about Apple? Do you own it? Do you want to sell it? Do you want to buy it?
Yeah, I have it. My cost basis is 146, and I was wondering if this 142, 44 area is the bottom for now, or can it make new low?
Now, I think that's the bottom. I think we've seen the bottom in Apple for this cycle. So I actually think, yeah, this, if you were going to, I wouldn't sell it. And if anything, I would be a buyer of Apple at this price. For everybody else, Apple got up to $230 in October and then fell all the way down, as Amit said, about 142. And today it's 154. So I think that 142, 143 area is as low as it's going to go. It could retest that low, and that's possible. But right now, it's doing like the market. It's consolidating around the 150 to 155 area. So I'm thinking this is it, Amit. If you own it, I just hold it. I wouldn't sell it. It's pretty low priced. I mean, it's going to make $13.34 per share next year. And it's $154 stock. So you're talking about what, 11, 12 PE? I mean, with a return on equity of 49%, which is huge. Yeah, I know all the problems. You know, iPhone and not exciting. They got to come up with a new product, whatever. I understand that. But they're still making money hand over fist. So, I mean, I appreciate the call. Thank you. Vitaly in Atlanta. Thank you. Vitaly, how you doing? You want to talk about gold or the gold ETF or the gold miners ETF, GDX? I appreciate the call, Vitaly.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I currently own it, and it's been doing well. And I just want to get your opinion of, like, the future outlook of it, because I'm trying to determine if I should exit while I'm up or if I should keep holding because it has a good outlook and possibly even buy more.
Okay, I've been talking about gold since the beginning, the end of last year and into this, you know, January. I've been saying that I think gold this in 2019, this year, is going to be its year. And it looks like it's bottomed in September. It's been working its way up. We own a number of gold mining stocks in one of our managed accounts because we thought it would do well. And GDX has done very well. The last 3 days has been up pretty strong from 20 to 22. You know, 8-9% in 3 days is pretty good. And it's been, remember, it was low, $17.50 in September, and here it's now $22, $21.97. And I think it's got more to run, personally, Vitaly. The reason why I think that is I think there's the fear out there. The fear out there in the investment world seems to be elevated. Well, how do I know that? Well, look at the VIX. And you can see the VIX is hanging around 20. Well, that's elevated fear. Usually when there's absolutely no fear, it hangs around 10 to 13, somewhere in there, when there's absolutely no fear. So fear is kind of a little bit elevated, and that helps gold. Fear is one of the drivers. A weakening dollar helps gold. And the dollar's been relatively strong for some time, and it's been going sideways now for ever since December, you know, the beginning of December or so, it down sideways to down, ever slightly on it. So it looks like to me it might be starting to roll over. A weakening dollar is good for gold. So I kind of like, I'm not a big gold bug, I'm not, but I kind of like it as a trade, and I think you still got to hold on to it for a little while, Vitaly. I really do. Okay? Appreciate the call. That is GDX. That is the Gold Miners Index. Dinesh in Kansas. How you doing, Dinesh?
Good. How are you, Steve? Good.
How are you, Steve? I am good. I appreciate the call.
I have a question on biotech stock, AbbVie, ticker symbol ABBV.
Yes.
I recently got into a small position after they reported like last week. It has gone down after that. I wanted to check with you if you think this is a good time to maybe add a little bit more.
I think it's a good price. I think it's a very good price right now. AbbVie, everybody, developed Humira, pharmaceuticals, biological treatments for rheumatoid arthritis, psoriasis, and Crohn's disease. I think that's a good place to be, I mean, as far as drugs, because the baby boomers are getting older and they're going to have arthritis. Their earnings are very strong, have been. They were up 10% this year. They're going to be up almost 9% next year. That's the estimates. The PE is 10. The return on equity is really high. That's really important. And it pays a 5.5% dividend. Now, a $77 stock going to make $9.51. I think this is the price you want to buy it. This is where it was at the low in November, right at this price. This is where you buy it. But you might want to wait a few days to make sure it stopped falling. That would be the only thing I would suggest. But the price is very, very reasonable. Thanks for the call. Tomorrow on Invest Talk, Amazon plans to launch a new Middle East marketplace. The move will bring a unified brand and back-end system for Amazon to the Middle East. That story is going to be tomorrow, everybody. But for now, I'm Steve Peasley, and I'm ready to take your questions at 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4273.
Your typical workday can be very busy. Assignments, appointments, responsibilities, obligations. Sometimes you start early and end late. For that reason alone, you may already be looking to the future, to a period when your money, your accumulated assets, are working for you and ultimately creating financial freedom. There are many voices suggesting financial planning services, but there's one company, one firm, that offers a balanced variety of strategically designed investment plans. One firm that applies decades of experience to enable a client personalized collaboration. One firm that can show you how to optimize an investment portfolio that fits your lifestyle objectives and risk tolerance limitations. One firm that speaks with a clear, logical, and unbiased voice. Start with a contact call to KPP Financial or visit kppfinancial.com.
Steve and Justin are always grateful when you make InvestTalk a part of your daily routine. And their unbiased guidance can be an invaluable aid to your efforts at building a strong portfolio. The phone lines are open. Steve is here and he's ready for your questions. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Our main talking point today. Investors remain on the edge even after a big January comeback. Well, you can understand that, I think. There's several reasons why. There's a lot of psychology involved in investing. Long term, I've told you this before. Long term, stocks go up because earnings go up. It's that simple. Stocks go up when earnings go up. But there are times where it's all about the psychology of the market. And what's the psychology right now? The market's nervous. You can tell that. You can tell by the movement of the stock prices. You can tell that by the VIX. You can tell that by, various things. When earnings, you miss the earnings report and the stock tanks, that means they're very nervous hands holding on to stocks. There's things you can tell. Also, you can just look at, and I'm sure many of you never even think about this because it's not your job, but you can look at the flow of money in and out of the market. Look at the flow of money, for instance, in mutual funds and exchange traded funds. Do you know the flow of money has been falling in the past month? In other words, money's been being pulled out of these things. And the whole ballgame for the market here is fourth quarter results. What if the GDP number of the fourth quarter comes in much weaker than expected? That's going to make for a lot of nervous market participants. So we're not out of the woods yet. We're just not. So it's time, you know, and everybody, when the market was moving up, you know, from almost all of January up until about a week ago, for the first 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, up, every day. Everybody's getting kind of comfortable. Okay, we're back free. No. You know, I was telling you, don't get too excited about this. And I'm still telling you, I'm not saying that the market, you know, to get too nervous either. I don't want you to panic out. I just don't want you, I want you to be realistic about things. And right now, there's no clear signal. You know what would be very helpful? A couple of things. We get a deal on China. That would be really, really helpful. Brexit gets a deal on Brexit. That would be helpful. The Federal Reserve says, hey, we're not going to raise rates for a while because the world economy is kind of not in a strong place. We're going to just hold off. That would be very helpful. But we did get the Federal Reserve backing off a bit from their last meeting. We did get that, but backing off a bit is not the same thing. So those would be very, very helpful, those things. We'll see. Will in San Diego. How you doing, Will?
Oh, pretty good, Steve. I wanted to talk about Fannie Mae. I hear that the government is going to spin that off. So I'm wondering, will that become a viable investment?
Well, it's a viable investment now, but it was controlled by the government, Fannie Mae. Remember, for everybody else, during the financial crisis of 2008, Fannie Mae went under, basically, but the government helped. So the government came in on a black horse and held them up and took ownership, basically, of the private company, just like it did AIG, by the way. And you know what? And what does Fannie Mae do? It provides liquidity and stability services for the mortgage market. It buys mortgages, and when Fannie Mae is known for paying dividends, that's why you buy it. You buy it because the dividends are solid. And now you know that the government is always going to be a backstop for Fannie Mae, right? Now they're thinking about spinning it off and making put it back in private. That's going to take a while. I don't think that's going to happen immediately, Will. There's going to be lots of debate in Congress about this. Fannie Mae is FNMA, and it's selling for $2.30. And you know, it's made money 3 years in a row now, after losing for a number of years before that. And it probably will make money this year, to, you know, 2019. And it's not a very exciting investment, and if you're looking for dividends, there's a lot better places to go, because you know there's a lot more dividends you can make somewhere else. So I wouldn't get too excited about it. It eventually will spin off, and we'll see. But you know, at this point, the housing market is kind of softening, so looks elsewhere. Okay, Will.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
You're welcome, James in Sonoma. How you doing, James?
Well, we're doing fine. I'm going to revisit the subject you and I have talked about several weeks ago. This is called IDV, International Select Dividend ETF. I'm rebalancing my portfolio, and I'm shy on it, and dividends are up shy on international stocks. Now, I'm sort of getting pushed by let's just say, friends, to go into something that's more managed over in Europe, because it's not as efficient, and ETFs aren't as efficient in inefficient markets, I guess. But I'm worried about Brexit now. What do you think of this fund, and what do you think of Brexit?
Well, right now, there's no deal, all right? I mean, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom worked out an agreement with the EU, and then when it went for a vote, she got shot down big time in her own House of Commons or whatever they call their administration there. And she got shot down. Now she's got to go back and try to renegotiate things. So, there's a date in March that is supposed to happen. And without any deal, there's going to be a lot of chaos. And that could be a very big problem. And I think they're going to be wait the last minute. You know, our governments everywhere in the West always seem to wait the last minute before and be pushed before they really do anything. And that seems like what's going to happen here. I wouldn't be too keen on investing in Europe at this point, but there is an argument that they've been beat up so much that maybe it's time to start putting your toe in there. There's that argument. I think that's a pretty strong argument. But that Brexit scares me. I just don't think they don't have a path yet of how to get out of this. I'm sure they will have one, but they don't have it yet. So, James, that worries me. Brexit worries
me. What do you think of this kind of fund, an ETF, dividend fund for Europe, regardless of Brexit?
Well, I think the fund is fine because it's full of, I've looked at some of the holdings in there, and there's some big, solid companies in there, and they're not going to go anywhere. The dividend, if you're focused on the dividend, you'd be all right. I would rather see you buy a dividend-focused fund here in the United States. Excuse me. And we have a number of them. Matter of fact, I have a short list of them. If you want that list, James, just send me an email asking for it, and I'll send it to you. But I would concentrate here, not in Europe at this point. Appreciate the call. Thank you, James. This is Invest Talk, and I'm Steve Peasley. We stream and broadcast Invest Talk live. And, of course, we do that in the 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock hour Pacific time, 4 to 5, every weekday. It's also available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week via archive podcast at investtalk.com. And, of course, you can listen and subscribe to Invest Talk podcast at iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, you know, those kinds of places. I hope you'll do it. I hope you'll tell your friends because it's really, we cut out all the commercials for the regular radio broadcast for you. And now the lines are open, everybody. 888-99-CHART.
This is Invest Talk, made possible by KPP Financial, where they describe their services as independent thinking, shared success. And this philosophy is why KPP Financial can be of great value to investors. KPP principals Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are committed to unbiased guidance. They don't upsell clients into expensive and questionable investments. Instead, Steve and Justin provide honest opinions and proven strategies based on the individual's current portfolio and risk tolerance. Working with KPP Financial, you can be assured of consistent dedication toward the goal of helping you achieve financial freedom. You can get things started with a phone call or a simple message through investtalk.com. The Invest Talk radio and podcast continues now. The phone lines are open. Call with your questions. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, home prices. Home prices, this is the Case-Shiller 20 Home City Index, and that was just reported for last month, and it rose 0.3%. 0.3%. That's the lowest it has been. But mind you, it's still 4.7% higher than a year ago. So it's still better than a year ago, but the housing market has clearly gone sideways and slowed down. So what were some of the best cities or worst cities? Either one. Well, the worst places have been like Chicago, Cleveland. They were down, shrunk, those prices, over the last month, 0.7%, both places. They're up 3.1% and 4.6% year over year. How about the best places? Well, year over year, the best place was Las Vegas, up 12%. Month over month, it was flat. Where else was best? Phoenix was really good. Year over year, up 8%, 8.1%. And month over month, up 0.3%. San Francisco fell 0.7% this last month. Year over year, it's up 5.6%. But overall, what you're seeing is a maturing housing market that now is, you know, reacting to interest rates, mortgage rates. They fell from, the 30-year fix fell from 5% to 4.5% here in recent weeks. So the hope is that maybe that will spark a little growth. But the problem we have is with the government shutdown, it was we're not seeing the numbers. You know, the numbers have been delayed. We don't know for sure. And we probably won't for another month or two what's happening back in December because we're supposed to have December's numbers now. So we might not see them until January. They might even skip the whole month and just do an estimate and just move on to January's. You just don't know what they're going to do. They've delayed a number of reports, many of the housing reports. Well, what can you do? You can't do anything. We can fit another call. Question that came in earlier, 888-99-CHART is the number.
Hey, Steve, this is Jane here. I have a quick question. Is this the right time to get into technology sector? And if yes, what do you say about QQQ or XLK? Which of them would you suggest? Thanks. Bye.
Well, the QQQ is the NASDAQ 100, right? That's what that is. The XLK, ETF seeking performance corresponding to the S&P Information Technology Select Sector Index. So it's going to have a different... It's going to have different stocks. It's going to have a lot of overlap. Looking at the chart, okay, we know that tech has been pretty good beaten up. I mean, we know that. And the question is, are we at the end of that cycle? And generally, you would say that the cycle doesn't end until we get a recession. Generally, that's what you would say. So, well, tech really gets beat up in the recessions or moving into recession. But I think we're still not close to recession. So it could be, tech really, if you take a look at the charts, and take a look at the percentage drops, very heavy drop. So you're going to get a bounce, and we've gotten a bounce. The bounce is not nearly as strong as the bounce of the overall market. Bounce of the market is 50% from top to bottom, 50% recovery. From top to bottom on XLK, it was at 75 or close to 76, got down to about 55, and today it's 64. So its recovery is only about 35-40%, not as much. I think you're going to have to be more – buying an index is probably not the way to go. I think if you're going to get into tech, buy some individual tech stocks that have held up better – and have good prospects going forward. Buying the whole index, I'm not keen on it at this point. I'll tell you when I am really keen on it, when we're in a recession. When we're in the depths of the recession, not recovered from a recession, in the depths of the recession, where everything is really bad and everybody's gloomy, that's when you buy it. Then that's when you're going to have your best opportunity to make a lot of money in tech. But, you know what? Very few people are able to do that. It scares them. It's scary. They've collapsed 50%. Tech's collapsed 50%, 60%. Last big recession was down, 80%? Whatever it was. How scary is it? And who knows what the bottom is? I can't tell you. If it goes down 40%, is that the bottom? No, I don't know. Might be. Could be. Could it go down 50%? Sure. Could it go about 60%? Sure. But I would start buying probably around 40%. I certainly would. And then here I am losing more and more money, and I'm buying more as it goes down. That's the scary part when you're buying in a recession. You just don't know where the recession. Sometimes it doesn't even happen that badly either. Don't think that that's how far it's got to go. No, it doesn't. It's already been hit pretty hard. So now maybe it's just going to retest the lows in a recession, of the recent lows here made in December. And that recession won't happen for a while. If it was easy, everybody could do it. I would not buy a tech ETF at this point. Just my opinion. I would not. I wouldn't mind buying individual stocks, tech stocks, certain ones. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. The week is moving fast. It's already Tuesday. January is almost over. Well, the month is moving very, very fast. So we still have about 10 minutes remaining in the show today, everybody. So maybe we can make that last. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
On the next Invest Talk, Amazon plans to launch a new Middle East marketplace, bringing a unified brand to the Middle East while helping more U.S.-based sellers expand in the region. That story tomorrow. But now, Steve is here, taking your questions live. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to John in Santa Cruz. How you doing, John? Excuse me.
Good, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
You want to talk about Brazil telephone, huh?
Yeah, for the dividend. If the dividend is safe or not, I'm wondering.
I never use the word safe when you talk about a dividend, because that word is reserved for like treasuries and CDs. But it's fairly safe, okay? Brazilian provider of local exchange, long-distance TV network access, symbol VIV, Telefonica Brazil. And the reason why I say it's fairly safe, because the stock is pretty darn cheap. They're going to make $1.37. They made $1.37 in 2018. That, well, that's just still an estimate. Next year, they're only going to make $1.01. But let's say they make $1.01. It's a $12.76 stock, and they pay a 7% dividend. Well, 7% of $12 is what? 80, 90 cents? And they're going to make $1, yeah. And the cash flow is $2.24 cash flow. So what I'm saying is they have plenty of money to continue to pay that dividend. It's only if they don't want to do it will it be a problem. But they got plenty of money, and they have very little debt. So it's not like they have debt that they got to pay off. No, they don't. So they can certainly support that dividend if the board of directors wants to continue to do so. And that would be smart of them to continue to do so, because that will attract people like you, me, to the stock. So I think it's fairly safe, as long as the Brazilian economy stays okay. Doesn't even have to be that strong, just okay. Yeah. John, appreciate the call. Okay. Thank you. That's VIV, everybody. Telefonica Brazil. It's a $14 billion company, so it's not some fly-by-night paying a high dividend. No. They've always made money for years and years, so they made more money and less money. So it's not like, this is not like a growth stock, no. But if you're buying for the dividend, it's not a bad, remember, never, ever, ever buy the more than about 3% of any one stock. Yeah, you can go to 5, but I prefer 3. Okay? Okay, 3, so remember the IRS. IRS, no matter what they say, oh, they're going to be a year behind. I don't know why they're so inefficient that, what do you mean they're going to be a year behind because of the government shutdown? The government shutdown only what? What, how many weeks? How come they can't catch up in at least twice that much? Okay, 2 months. Why? What's wrong with the IRS that they can't do it? See, there's big problems there. You know, anyways, things they're going to be looking for when they do audit you. So these are things that are like red flags that they will audit. And one of them is being too generous. Too generous. Okay, meaning don't have outsized charitable contributions unless you really did have outsized charitable contributions. You're going to have to prove it. You don't just get to say you did it. You got to prove it. So be very careful. Generally speaking, you know, 3%, 5% of your adjusted gross income is not red flag territory. Is not. 10% even, probably not. You get 50%, oh, you're going to get audited. So now where's the gray area? Claiming a loss from your hobby. Okay, so you have a hobby. You make, I don't know, wooden sailboats, you know, miniature wooden sailboats. And you sell them as a hobby. But, you know, you sell them and you sell $100,000 worth of them. I don't know, $10,000. I don't know how much it costs. Well, don't ask me. But let's say you sell $100,000. It's a hobby because they're really detailed and you make 3 or 4 a year. And then you say you had $150,000 in expenses. I don't think so. You can't claim more loss than the earnings in a hobby. You better not. That's going to get you an audit. And another thing that will get you an audit, retiring from your retirement account early. In other words, you are going to pay that penalty because they're going to find you. And if they don't, you know what the penalty is if you take from money from a retirement account early before you're supposed to? The penalty is 100% of the tax you owe. Then you also got to pay interest on that. If they don't get around to audit you for 2 or 3 years, they have 2 or 3 years of interest on that money. Wow. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program, and I thank you for your loyal support and all your questions. I want you to have a nice evening, everybody, and good night.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.